is an interview for the Shoe Industry Oral History Project at the Museum LA. The date is April 16th, 2010, and I am with Kyle Rancourt in Lewiston, Maine, and this is Andrea Lumtier. Kyle, could you just start by giving me your full name and spelling?
Kyle Rancourt, Kyle Rancourt.
And where and when were you born?
I was born August 13th, 1984, in Lewiston, Maine.
And did you grow up in the Lewiston area?
I did right here in Lewiston, right off Pond Road, down the street. So, my parents grew up in Lewiston. Been here. Our whole family's grown up in Lewiston our whole lives. So, never lived anywhere else, except in college.
Right. And so you were born in the early 80s.
Yes.
And so you maybe have a few memories of the 80s, but more likely the 90s.
Yeah,
And
much more vivid memories of the 90s, shoe business in the 90s. And
yeah. Well, what did you see going on in the shoe business at that time?
well, by the end of the 90s, I would only have been 16 years old, and
Right.
my biggest concern in life was certainly not my parents' shoe company. So I didn't really know much. I mean, I worked in the office and in the factory in the warehouse, and during the summers we'd have a tent sale here in Lewiston, right at the factory, and I would work that. But what do I remember?
And your grandfather was in the shoe business for years too.
He wasn't around when I, as far as I can remember, because by the time I was old enough to, remember these things and really comprehend what was going on in my family, he was already retired. So I vaguely remember he and my dad having Down East Footwear. Like I said, I was probably, 5, 6, 7 years old, and I'm not sure if my memories are more from myself or from my dad telling me what used to go on. So I used to come into the factory, and there were the women in the stitching room, and they would give me candies, and I would hang out around there and just kind of run around the factory for a couple hours, especially on Saturdays he would bring me in. Then into the 90s, my parents had Main Shoe, and what I remember from that is what seemed to me to be a rapid growth in their company. I'm sure it wasn't as rapid as I remember. It's probably more painstaking and time consuming for my parents. But since I was young and didn't have to worry about, making a living, it seemed quick to me. They started off with 12 employees. I remember that. I remember they had a factory on Lincoln Street at that point. And I remember a big empty building, 12 people and making shoes, small amount of shoes. And it seemed like before I knew it, they were at Westminster over here at the bowling alley. And they had, 75, 80 employees and busy all the time. But as far as, the shoemaking process or styling or, the shoe business in general, there wasn't much that I really knew about, what I really paid attention to at that age. It was when I got older. So again, from the 90s, I don't know much about the shoe business in the 90s.
So when did you spark an interest in knowing more detail about
Yeah.
what was going on?
Well, I always thought, my brother and sister, it wasn't in their plans, I guess, as kids to be working for my parents or take over the shoe business. It was always in mine. I was the youngest. And I don't know, my dad and I have always had a really close relationship, and so, I always saw myself taking over the family company. When they sold to Allen Edmonds, those plans kind of changed, but I was still very interested in the shoe business. So I guess you could say career or life in the shoe business began at the retail side. I worked in Freeport at the Allen Edmonds store there. When I was 17 years old, it was maybe my second job I ever had. I worked at a couple other retail stores in high school, just part-time. So I was working at the retail store there for a couple years and through college. I went to school in Wisconsin, and and they have Allen Edmonds stores out there because obviously that's where Allen Edmonds is based in
Oh,
Port,
is it?
yeah,
Okay.
in Port Washington, Wisconsin. And so my dad was working for the company, my mom and me, you know, we were all working for the same shoe company. I was at the retail level, and my dad was at product development and management, and my mom, same thing, she was in management. and that's where I think I really developed a sense for shoes and styling and the importance of shoes in people's lives. It's a, you know, for some people, it's me included, obviously, but even some people outside the shoe business, it's like a treasure almost to them. You know, they have a pair of shoes or a brand of shoes that they fall in love with, and they want to keep that for the rest of their lives. And they bring these same shoes they've had for 25 years back, and they have them resoled and refinished. And so I realized that shoes were more important to people's, not just their wardrobe, but to their lives. It's kind of part of who they are at that point, you know, when I was working at the retail level. Before, I didn't really see it that way. You know, as a kid growing up, I kind of saw I saw it as a factory. You know, I didn't think my parents were doing anything cutting edge or fashionable, you know. I just saw it as building something, you know, almost a service type thing. But I didn't realize how much of a craft it really is to make a pair of shoes. So yeah, retail side is where it began really for me.
Have you been able to observe over these later years in your youth the hand sewing and the art of that? Have you ever tried?
I have not, and it's funny you ask because I'm going to today.
Today.
Yeah, because we have right now downstairs we have a young man. His name's James. He's younger than me. He's 22, 23. He just came out of the military, and he's a friend of somebody who works for us. And he's looking for a job, and he's really interested in hand sewing because his the people he knows, they both hand sew, and so he's down there training right now. So now it's a good opportunity now because somebody's training, so now I can go and do it as well. Because you need a skilled, experienced hand sewer to train another hand sewer. So I didn't want to take the time out of, you know, out of somebody's day to train me at a hand sew just so I could know how to do it. But now that I have the opportunity, I would love to do it. So yeah, I will be.
That because I see, as I'm sitting here talking to you, and you're coming on board with your dad and your mom in the business, and the art of hand sewing, a lot of the people in that field are quite older.
Yeah.
Because we lost so many jobs in this area requiring hand sewers, and with you taking the baton
Yeah.
into the future, that's going to be an important
Skill.
art
Yeah.
skill to train for it and keep going.
Yeah, I completely agree. This is a good topic of conversation, actually. Are you familiar, you know what flat-lasted shoes are, or welted shoes, non-hand-sewn shoes?
Right.
So those are the two, hand-sewn shoes and then flat-lasted shoes or welted shoes, whatever you want to call them, are the two primary, most popular shoe constructions. And typically, flat-lasted shoes are a dressier shoe. You get your plain toes and your cap toes and your wing tips. Those are all made as welted shoes. And a hand-sewn shoe is a moccasin type. You know, it's very casual. And growing up, I never wore. Didn't even wear boat shoes like I'm wearing right now, you know. It just wasn't for me. It seemed like an older person's type of shoe. It was too, I don't want to say it was too casual because I've always had a casual dress, but it didn't appeal to me. I guess it seemed too old. And it's funny how the tables have completely turned for me because now that I started working here and I see hand-sewn shoes every day and I see all the different things that we can do with hand-sewing, and how we can make a really beautiful pair of shoes, better looking than a welted shoe or a flat-lasted shoe. I think hand-sewn shoes are the way to go. I wear them every single day, and I wear nothing else but hand-sewn shoes out of our factory. And there's so much potential there. And so it's extremely important for me, for my company, and for the shoe business to be training young hand sewers. Otherwise, that art will die. There's a type of hand sewing, I don't know if you're familiar with pre-punch. So they punch the holes in the leather before they stitch it, and that way the sewer has a guideline to follow. But it creates this really kind of prepackaged look. There's nothing really unique about the shoes. I mean, most people probably couldn't tell, but people in the shoe business and people who really appreciate shoes and beautiful shoes can tell that it's pre-punch. It looks, it looks almost too perfect.
Too uniform.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Too uniform. That's exactly. And so you can train a hand sewer, anybody really, to do that, but it takes a certain person with right-hand-eye coordination. And not just that, but to be able to stand there and stitch for 8 to 10 hours a day, I mean, that takes a special type of person to be able to do that, very focused. So hand sewing is a highly tuned skill, and not everybody could do it. So it's a very important part of what we're doing here. So I'm glad we're training somebody today as we speak.
And having probably heard from your family members over the years that how much the shoe industry has gotten smaller in this area, and the shoe shops that all close, and the overseas sort of movement for a lot of people. Well, how do you see surviving in that?
You know what? You might be surprised by this, but I don't see it as a bad thing because I see it as an opportunity. Right now, there are less than a handful of shoemakers in the United States, and we're one of them, and we're one group that has a lot of experience and can make really great shoes, high quality, beautiful shoes. And so I see that as a vast opportunity for us. I don't like the trend of sending all manufacturing in the United States, you know, regardless of the industry, but to China or to South America. I mean, I don't see any value in that for Americans. But in this case, my dad always talks about, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, shoe factories and shoe companies were a dime a dozen. And so you had these shoe factories who were pumping out, you know, the huge numbers of shoes on a weekly basis and selling them for the lowest price possible. You can't build value in a good that way. You know, really, it's the lowest bidder wins, and who cares what the quality of the shoes is. So I see this as a great opportunity. It gives us some time, you know, an opportunity not only to, we can get the price that we need to pay our employees well and buy the best materials because there are so few American shoemakers. So we can get the prices we need to, like I said, pay our employees and also buy the best materials. And it gives us time to spend on making a beautiful product. Rather than worrying about getting shoes out as fast as possible, we can take some time. If a shoe's not right, we take it back and we rework it. We recut the leather, or we restitch it, or we put a new sole on it if it's not right. So I see it as an opportunity more than anything. But I do want to say, for the record, I don't like the trend of sending manufacturing overseas. I'm certainly not for that. So,
is there anything that I haven't asked you that you might have particular perspective or knowledge on that you think is important to add?
The only thing, I mean, there's in my parents, my father especially, and then in this factory, there's so much knowledge that, I mean, I'm so inexperienced. I know very little compared to what these people know. I mean, they have spent their whole lives doing it, and so in one sense, well, nobody treats me like I shouldn't be here, or that I, you know, they embrace it, they give me all their knowledge, so I soak it up. So I'm lucky, really. You know, I have the best people teaching me everything I need to know about the shoe business. So I'm confident that in time, over, you know, in the next few years, that I'll know as much as anybody about shoemaking. But one thing I think I do have to offer this company and possibly the shoe business is a young person's perspective on shoes and on the shoe industry. And one thing I see happening for people my age is that we appreciate good shoes and we appreciate made in America, but we can't afford it.
How do you reconcile that in the shoe business?
Yeah, well, there's a couple ways. We, one, are not going to be as greedy as some companies have been in the past, you know, marking up their shoes 4 or 5 times. Mm-hmm. So you make a pair of shoes for $100 and you sell for $500. To me, that's just greedy. Why do you, you know, I mean, I guess there's many reasons why they do it, but is it necessary? Probably not. So we make a pair of shoes for $100 and then we sell them for, say, $200, because there are a lot of overhead costs now. We need to mark it up a certain amount to make some money. This is a business. But to keep that price point a little bit lower so that, you know, people in our community can afford our shoes, and people in our, you know, my group of friends and my peers can afford our shoes and wear our shoes, that's important to me, because I'd rather see them in a pair of Rancourt and Company, you know, boat shoes rather than some Sperry Topsiders made in China or India or wherever they're made. So that's one thing that's important to me going forward. And that might materialize in, we have two separate collections. We have a collection of higher end shoes for businessmen and older people who can afford a $300 to $350 price tag. And then we have shoes that are maybe a little less expensive, less, the labor costs are a little bit less, the materials a little bit less, so we can sell them for $200 a pair. And so younger people and people who can't afford more expensive shoes can still wear our shoes. We don't want this, and we've said this from the beginning, this is not an elitist business. You know, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for this community and the people working in the factory. And so there should be nothing elitist about, you know, our company or our prices or anything like that. So also, you know, I'm really interested in the product development side, mm-hmm. in design, and I think in the same way that we need young people working here to continue this company, we need young people as customers to continue growing this company. If all our customers are in their 50s and 60s, we'll be out of business in 10, 15, 20 years. So we need to really work on developing a younger following and a younger customer base, and that's one of our goals and one of my goals. So that's something that I really want to work on and am working on currently. So
great.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.